The Space Case Sarah Show with space nerds Kovi and Benjamin. Who is Space Case Sarah?
Spunky, edgy, smart, funny, and a rebel feminist.
Now, witness it yourself on iRock Space Radio.
Hello, space enthusiasts, and welcome to another episode of the Space Case Sarah Show with the space nerds, Kavi Rose and Benjamin Salas. Welcome, gentlemen. Again, we are recording before Artemis's launch. Now we know that it was going to maybe happen on Friday. We know now it's going to be Saturday, and we are still eagerly anticipating that at the time of this recording. Fingers crossed. I did see some rumor on the ground that weather is still kind of not looking super favorable for the weekend. But selfishly, if it gets delayed to October, I'm not super opposed. I don't know how you guys feel.
Not opposed at all. Safety first and making sure they don't launch while I take my son on a Cub Scout trip second.
Yeah, that's right. Because you're going to miss it.
I wouldn't be able to make it either way, but I just feel bad for all the folks who have to go out there every time. It's like, okay, wake up at 1 a.m. after sleeping for half an hour, get jacked on coffee and like drive down there through the crowd, through the traffic. It's like, oh wait, no, not this time.
And, like, never mind. It was just another trip to the ocean side views. Yeah. And no, I agree. Safety first. It is obviously important to, keep that perspective, but I'm being very selfish. Yeah, I'm like, well, I couldn't go to the first one because of my kids. What is it with these kids? They're the future. They're the future kids of our space industry. Why are we're neglecting our love and passion for space for them? Fine. We have really big space news that came from the James Webb Telescope. Like, within the past 24 hours. Kavi, have you seen it? He's looking confused.
I'm like, because it's morning here.
Rings around it. It was great.
You don't know. He doesn't know yet. He doesn't know.
He didn't see it. Are we talking about the Wolf Rayet star with the shockwaves?
No, yes. But that is a cool thing. It took a picture of the first exoplanet directly ever.
Oh, that news. That was more than 24 hours ago.
Was it more than 24 hours ago? Well, then I lied, and you do know about it. So, but that is really big news since we last recorded that James Webb has taken a direct photo of a gas giant exoplanet.
It's phenomenal to me.
It is. HIP-65426. It's a very romantic name.
Seriously, yes. HIXPSTF.
Yeah, I knew him well. Number. Well, speaking of episodes, this is the, what is it, Boron episode?
Yes, it is.
And
it is.
Boron, we're going to talk about names and the history of NASA and their Greek mythology names and the hidden meaning of the names and stuff like that. So that was, speaking of names, that's what we're going to talk about. But let's talk about Boron. Do we have a fun fact from Fun Fact Science about our element of the episode week?
There are a lot of useful cases for boron. There was nothing that was a super fun fact that I could find this week. Except I did find an article, a scientific paper that was titled "Boron is Not Boring." And I'm sticking with that.
All right. It is not boring. Although he can't tell you why, because all sources seem to point to the fact that it is indeed not that exciting to talk about. But did you have maybe another fun fact you'd like to share with us? Do you know anything about, say, this giant gas planet that James Webb took a picture of? Is there anything like interesting that maybe I didn't catch in the little news release that you know? Am I putting you on the spot?
With this exoplanet, it's super interesting, but I actually wanted to talk about the exoplanet that was discovered a few days earlier, where they actually were able to detect carbon dioxide in the atmosphere of an exoplanet with James Webb. That, to me, I mean, it's, you know, you're talking about a planet that's a little bit closer. I think it's orbiting a star that's about 700 light years away. And using spectroscopy, right, where you break down the light coming from, you know, a distant star, they're able to detect individual chemical elements in the atmosphere of this exoplanet. And so to see that we're seeing carbon dioxide, something that we associate with light here on Earth, on an exoplanet hundreds of light years away, that to me is just even more mind-blowing.
Yeah, it is a very strong biomarker, for sure, of something to look for in the atmosphere of other planets. And for mm-hmm. those who don't know what a biomarker means, it just means that it is something that could indicate the presence of a mm-hmm. biological thing that might be there. A perfect example of that would have been that paper that came out about phosphine in the atmosphere of Venus, which, as far as we understand here on Earth, it either is something that is a waste product of a living biological organism, or we lab create it, but otherwise we have no knowledge of how that can be created either way from those two ways. And so basically, what's really interesting to me about not just Venus, but also like that carbon dioxide thing, is that there's two routes of how this could go, and either are super cool. Is either it does mean there's maybe evidence for or suggesting that there could be life, or chemistry works in a way that we don't fully understand yet under very different conditions. And so either way, those are both very interesting avenues. So as far as we understand, good science is using what we understand and how things are studied here on Earth. But, you know, who knows? Who knows what's waiting for us to discover out there? Benjamin, what do you have for us today, good sir, bringer of knowledge and wisdom and whisper?
I wish I had some of those.
We can make the whiskey happen later.
Yeah, maybe later. I could use it, I think. This should be airing on September 10th. So I'd like to say happy birthday to Mike Mullane, Richard, nicknamed Mike Mullane, NASA astronaut. One of three shuttle flights, including the very first flight of Discovery. And scientist Carl Mosander, who discovered the elements, since we love elements. He discovered lanthanum, erbium, and terbium. And one more science birthday was for Stephen Jay Gould, the paleontologist and evolutionary biologist. And he has an encyclopedic knowledge of the history of baseball. And when he talks about it, he speaks about baseball like a poet. And that's
your thing, too. Yes, happy birthday to them. If when your bios and pictures get up on our show webpage, you actually, in your biography, wrote a whole thing about the speed of a baseball and how much like kinetic yes. energy or something like that it needs. So that was I think that was a good tie-in right there to your own interests as a science communicator as well. So friendly reminder, you can find this show and our webpage for it on irockspaceradio.com. If you happen to be streaming through the website, great, awesome. Hope you signed up for the Crew Club, and be sure to check out the other shows that we have on this station, including Ashley First, who is just a lovely human, and she does our news and weather reports right after this show. So stick around when this is done to hear what the rovers are dealing with on Mars currently. And then my lovely co-hosts also have their own SciComm platforms. It's Fun Fact Science with Kavi, and that's on all the social media platforms. And then Science Actually, or Actually Science, depending on the platform, with Benjamin. And he likes to drop lots of interesting facts. I like it because it's very attention grabbing instead of just like blah 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 blah. I have a tendency to do that sometimes, where my facts all of a sudden it's like four paragraphs long, and I'm like, I don't think anyone's probably gonna read that at this point. But that's what I do.
It's really hard to put a science fact into meme form. You yes. have maybe 10, 14 really words tough. Tops that you can try to convey a message with, and I got so much flack from so many fans that I'm just teasing them or not explaining things fully, and there's more information. So now when I post all these science memes, you can see in the comment the full description of what it is, and of course links to whatever sources I'm trying to cite so you can get the whole shebang. So I'm not going to leave you hanging with astronomical scintillation. You can actually go and read the entire article about what it means and why planets don't shimmer and why stars do and so on.
Sure. I actually got called out by my academic advisor for using the word scintillation, using the word scintillating as an adjective rather than an astronomical term. Like, the universe has a scintillating smorgasbord of sights for us to see in every direction. And she's like, do you mean scintillating or do you just mean like there's a lot of them?
That's a unique call out. I was gonna comfort you a little bit, Benjamin, and say that there's always, you know, what is the saying? Like, opinions are like assholes and everybody has them, but it's true. Like, in this public platform sphere, everyone has an opinion of how they want things to sound, how they want things to look, who they think is the right person for this. And eventually what I have come to this happy place is that I make content and I put it out there what I like. And if I like it, then that's enough, because you cannot win them all. And I have found,
you cannot please everyone.
No, especially the astronomy, physics kind of world, people can get really persnickety about what they think. And so in this newer era of us SciComers, we're like, you know what? We're doing what we like and what we think will work. But if it doesn't, I was telling this to someone else recently that it's okay for it to flop. Like, it really is okay to post something. And if it doesn't go over well, it flops. Great. Mm-hmm. Move on. Just keep making it. Just keep going at it. Because this, just even like you guys joining me in this, just showing up is like 70% of the battle. Just doing the thing and putting yourself out there. So many people are so worried about the feedback, and just do it. Just do it. Sorry, Nike, I'm stealing your slogan, but just do it. So,
it's like, if people,
yeah, go ahead.
Sorry. No, I was just going to say, like, if people don't like, you know, if they're not resonating with the particular content that you know, one of us is creating, I'm sure that there's somebody else out there who's creating content that they will resonate with, you know?
Absolutely.
Like, we live in a really blessed age of just an absolute wealth of science communicators all doing different things in different ways. You'll find somebody else out there who's doing something that you'll really vibe with. And so, like, people who are like, oh no, why don't you do content like this? Why don't you do content like that? It's like, I'm sure you can find someone who fills those needs. Good luck with it.
Right.
I'm doing my thing.
And if not, it's easy for you to just go out there and make your own.
Exactly.
There you go.
It's a very awesome platform that we have out there.
Exactly. And I would have to say that it is really a lot of other content creators that have given me the courage to just go and do my own unique thing too. Hank Green comes to mind in particular, because he had like all these awesome shows on NPR that, you know, were on YouTube of like understanding chemistry and blah, blah, blah. And like, when you see those, he's got this very professional demeanor and he's behind a desk and like, it's got this look, right? But then bounce over to his TikTok and he is, you know, he's using the trending sounds and, you know, making up like little raps and using explicit language, and it's hilarious. And I'm like, man, you like you're the same person. So it's really, I think it is. Yeah. A new, inspiring time to have just so many different varieties of how people share content. And, like I said, Benjamin, yours is one of those ways of a visual medium. So we're going to wrap up this first segment and we're going to talk about the history of NASA and how they choose their names. And this is going to go really into Greek and Roman mythology. But I think that it's so cool that so many missions have so many nuanced layer meanings behind the names. And I love that sometimes it takes a little bit of digging to get to that interesting story or that interesting factor. You might need to know an engineer on the inside who knows why something was done. Or you could be a complete nerd like Benjamin and figure out how to create your own code for a parachute, just like Perseverance parachute. But like, that was one of the things that it's just, they could have just sent a parachute, right? They could have just sent a rover down with a normal red and white parachute, but no. They specially made a coded message. And I think that's just so unique. And so we're going to look at some of that stuff and talk about it. And yeah, you are listening to the Space Case Sarah Show with Space Nerds Kavi and Benjamin here on iRock Space Radio.